You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The podcast.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, that was just the first 2 hours on this Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the South Street Seaport Studios.
Picture, man.
Beautiful day. Ready to go. The
People
East River.
It'd be nice to turn on your mic.
I know. I took a bathroom break. People can't see the picture if they're driving in the car, Keyshawn.
Well, we're not just speaking to people in their cars. We're speaking to people at home as well as getting ready to get in their cars. So the way this stuff works is...
That's a good transition. Break it down for
so
me.
So the way it works is...
Yes, please.
Watch at home.
Okay.
Or on radio at home.
Okay.
Or on their phones at home.
Okay.
And then when they get in the car...
A lot of devices.
They turn on the radio. So they move from one to the next.
Okay.
That's how it goes.
All right. Thank you for that.
All right.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mark Jackson talking
hoops. They don't
like
each other. Listen to them arguing.
We'll talk hoops coming up in 9 minutes. He'll be on the call for tonight's huge Game 7 between the Jazz and the Nuggets, with the Clippers awaiting, 8:30 Eastern on ABC. If you're watching us on ESPN News, Jay is paying homage to the late, great Big John. John Thompson, he's kind of patting that towel over his left shoulder. We're going to talk to Jim Boeheim at 9:05 a.m. Eastern time, longtime adversary in the Big East. And Jay, this is a guy that was super important to you, and I can't wait for us to be able to talk to Jim and take a trip down memory lane real quick.
Yeah, really excited to talk to Jim. Obviously, that was his big-time rival, but they were also really good friends. And here's the thing I'll say about Big John. A lot of people love to talk about his accolades on the court. We talked about yesterday Prop 48, him standing up for that, Prop 42, you know, really denouncing both of those. But ultimately, he had a 97% graduation rate, and I don't want that to be remissed. He helped so many kids from the inner city have an opportunity to come to realization that they can go to a school like Georgetown, not only play basketball, but also graduate from a great academic university.
No question about it. All the things that people are fighting for in 2020, he was fighting for in the 1980s. Also should not underrate that I'm wearing a do-rag this morning.
Should have led with that.
It is the top story. That's where I want everybody to get in the car, like Key said, so they don't have to look at this. They can just listen.
My boy was like, is it Allen Iverson's birthday or something? Did I miss something with Zubin?
You put this on my head today. I will admit, it's a little tight here. I had predicted the Mavericks. I'm going to keep Key out of this. I had predicted the Mavericks were going to knock out the Clippers. I was wrong. I lost the bet. You wanted to dress me up as the legendary Ali G. So what I'm scared about here, Key, is this might just be step one. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
It's one day. One day. I decided not to go with the chains and the glasses. That was a little bit too much. I wanted to keep it somewhat classy and professional.
I appreciate it. Classy and professional.
I went with the do-rag.
So you go
with the do-rag. Oh, don't worry. Keys is coming on Friday.
On Friday.
That's when you're going to dress up the way I tell you to dress up. It's going to be incredible.
Look, I'm not here on Friday.
Listen, classy and professional, probably not the best two words to describe how Jags coach Doug Marrone treated Leonard Fournette yesterday. Basically just saying, hey, bro, we tried to get a 5th-round pick, a 6th-round pick. We couldn't get anything. So essentially, we released him. There's a ton of people that think huge change could be coming to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider who dealt with Key throughout his NFL career, was on Get Up yesterday with Mike Greenberg and the gang. And he made it clear, look, Doug Marrone is certainly looking to keep his job there in Jacksonville, although his seat is hot and this is a big-time spot. But if things go wrong, think about this dynamic duo hitting Duval.
Coach Marrone sort of addressed it, which is, let's see how the season goes, and if they play well, it's a moot point. But on paper, with all the players they've lost, they could have the 1st pick in the draft. And if they do, unfortunately for Coach Marrone, he probably won't be there. And then again, it's a package deal. If you're Dabo Sweeney and you have any thoughts about ever going to the NFL, this is the perfect situation. It's right down the road and you're going with a franchise quarterback. So obviously a lot has to happen, but I think it becomes very realistic if Jacksonville does indeed have the 1st pick overall, which on paper they may, especially after the last 48 hours losing Ngakoue and Fournette.
Whoa, Key, what do you think?
You know, it's interesting, right? You think about when the Jacksonville Jaguars first started their franchise. They went and got a guy from Boston College named Tom Coughlin.
Yep.
And TC did wonders with them in an expansion situation. Times are a little different now. And what I would say is Dabo Swinney, the rah-rah college coach, has to understand what he's getting himself into if he wants to take a leap to the pro game from college. First of all, you got to hire the right assistants. Hiring assistant coaches is not easy. You because guys are under contract. There's compensation for guys that you want to get from NFL teams. If you plan on bringing your entire staff from college to the pros, it's a way different situation because you're dealing with grown-ass men with full beards with car seats in the back. They don't want to hear any of that, let's rah-rah. They don't want to hear that. They want to know how we can get to the Super Bowl and where's my paycheck. That's what they want to know, and that's facts. Furthermore, personnel is different in the pros evaluating it than evaluating high school tape of high school kids coming to college.
Right.
When you have a situation where Trevor Lawrence takes over at the quarterback spot for Bryant, Kelly Bryant, who was the starter originally at Clemson before Trevor Lawrence took over, you can't do that in the pros. You can't all of a sudden decide, I don't like him, I'm going to play him. This is not scholarships you're playing with. You're playing with salary cap money. And it's a big money, right? Quarterback, $20 million, $30 million. Big money. You can't bench a guy like you can do in college. So it's a different situation. When you look back at college coaches coming to the pros, don't count Pete Carroll. Everybody points to Pete. Pete was a pro guy before he was a college guy.
Right, in New England.
Yeah. You look at the guys who supposedly have had success. Like, who? Like, Nick got ran back to college from the pros. Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Act like you're supposed to know who Nick is, right? Nick Saban.
Heard of him?
Or you think about Greg Schiano. He came with that college mentality to the pros at Tampa Bay, and they was like, Greg, come on, man, you go work for ESPN and redo this thing all over again before you get back in college because the pros are not for you.
And he's back in college.
And he's back in college. Steve Spurrier came to Washington, ran him back, had to go to South Carolina. Chip Kelly had a year or so there in Philly, and everybody's like, eh, went to San Francisco, disaster at UCLA. Disaster, UCLA. Now, I'm just pointing to a few guys,
right.
So I don't really know anybody that's had any success that I can point to. I don't count Pete Carroll.
What about Harbaugh?
Harbaugh, Jim. But okay, so Jim. The way that I look at Jim as a pro guy.
Right.
He was a football player that played in the pros. He played under Coach Ditka, and he played in Indy, had success. So he becomes a pro guy that kind of has a pro mentality when he was in college at UC San Diego as well as Stanford with a pro mentality.
I'll say this. Don't do it, Dabo. Don't do it. You are the highest paid coach in college football. $9.3 million.
Astounding. That for a college
9.3, I'll say it again, $9.3 million a year. Now, here's my thing. You have full autonomy at Clemson. Dan Radakovich, who is the athletic director, great athletic director. They have a great relationship, brings in the top recruits year after year after year, and has a legacy. The only person he's chasing right now in the legacy of college football sports is Nick Saban. That's it. And he can actually demand what he wants his players to do. We know about the NFL. We know about the NBA. You go into a player-driven league. You go into a bad system. You're trying to get big-time players. You bring them over. It becomes your voice against theirs to a degree.
Yes, it
is. Why do you want to jeopardize that? Why do you want to jeopardize something great in the long runway you have going at Clemson for a chance to achieve something in the pros? Maybe just to scratch an itch? But why, ultimately, if you can secure your legacy to be one of the greatest college football coaches of all time? Why do it?
Well, he's a college guy. I know Dabo a little bit. He's small-town college guy. His wife as well. Small-town college. They enjoy being the toast of the town. I was once told by him in a recruiting meeting that, you know, now this is recruiting, that he wouldn't leave Clemson. There's only one job that he would leave Clemson for, and that was Alabama.
So he went there. He played at Alabama.
He played
at
Alabama. Yeah. And so when you look at that, it's like going to the pros is so much. Like, again, hiring a staff is crucial because you got to pluck guys from other places and other teams. And if you don't have a Rolodex of NFL coaches – It's very hard. You can't take your staff and all of a sudden Chad Morris becomes your offensive coordinator because he did well at Clemson. So now he's out of job. You're going to bring him to be an OC in the NFL and think that this is going to work. It's just – it's a hard deal.
Is it as prevalent in the NFL as it is in the NBA? When I see like John Calipari leaves to go to the NBA, you know for a fact he's getting a job back at one of the top college institutions. Kind of the same with college football?
Dabo can get a job in college football back at one of the top institutions, much like Nick Saban. Left LSU for Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins comes back to Alabama because Alabama was starving to get a guy. Now, all of a sudden, Dabo Sweeney, who is a guy, you know, I guess you could say a Southern ACC, Southern, at Southern Bell, SEC kind of country, he can get a job over there really fast. Where if some things open up west, people would be like, there's no, he has no inroads out west, so why would we bring him in? So it becomes, his circle becomes very small where he can get hired. But he certainly would get hired if he got fired in 3 or 4 years. He sit tight for a year till the contract runs out, get hired in a heartbeat.
So pretty much get guaranteed money, pretty much, like going to the pros.
But you're messing around at Clemson right now. That Clemson job's going to get filled. You're going to be messing around coaching at, like, Texas Tech or something.
$9.3 million. Well, I mean, I wonder where
more than that in the pros.
I know, but I wonder where that actually, that mark, I wonder where that compares to some of the highest paid NFL coaches.
I mean, think about Matt Rhule.
I wonder where he is.
What about Matt Rhule? The guy's coached a game. He was at Baylor. You would certainly think Dabo would command more than that.
Well, the checkbook writer in Carolina, come on now.
David
Tepper just write the check. It doesn't. What do you want? I need you. I want you.
Yeah, we'll get back to it for sure in just a little bit. By the way, four words that people often don't think about. Don't mess with happy, right? If you got it going good, don't worry about it. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin reminding you to check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything.
Murray, does he got another one in him? Oh, you bet he does! And that might be the dagger!
Well, what are you thinking about right now?
These shoes give me life. Even though these people are gone, they give me life.
What a shot! Donovan Mitchell with a big hit.
And when you fight for something, you know, it means a whole lot more.
As a fan, we want games like we didn't want that. We're motivated for the next game. No one says it's going to be easy.
Celebration now. Jokic, Murray, Mitchell, and the very underrated great offensive play of Rudy Gobert, and we all know his role in everything that's happened in the world of sports, all together on the court tonight. Winner take all. Nuggets, Jazz, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Yes. Jay is rubbing those hands, ready to go on ABC. Mark Jones will be on the call with Mark Jackson. The latter joins us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Obviously, St. John's legend. We will discuss John Thompson, the old Big East, in just a little bit, taking a trip down memory lane with Mark. But first, let's just get to the here and now. Mark is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots. Energy on the go. What will determine who wins tonight between the Nuggets and the Jazz with the Clippers waiting in the wings? Wait, hang on.
No, Jack, don't answer that yet, man. Don't answer that yet. Will you let Jay Will know that I can run the floor, man? Will you just tell him? Because he don't believe I can run the floor.
Hey, MJ, just because he can get up and down the floor don't mean he can guard somebody.
Man, will you tell him, Jack?
First of all, congratulations, you guys, on an awesome show and the tremendous success. And yes, Keyshawn is a baller, man. I'm a living witness. He's gets up and down the floor, talks trash, can score, competes at a high level. So yes, the answer is yes.
Thank you. Now you can go ahead and proceed, Jack. Zubin.
Jack, does he want this smoke, though? Let's be honest about it.
No, I don't think he wants the smoke,
Jack.
Just like we don't want the smoke with him on the football field. He doesn't want to smoke with you on the basketball.
Wait, before we move on, Mark had dimes still. Like dimes. Like really, like one, if your head wasn't on swivel, you was going
to
get it.
Now, we were all old enough to remember what he did in New York with the Knicks, that Rookie of the Year campaign, one of the great, great players to ever come out of this great city. All right, so what's going to be the determining factor tonight on ABC between the Jazz and the Nuggets? Winner take all to get to the conference semis.
Well, to me, it's going to be a great game. It's been a great series. And the determining factor is going to be the adjustment of making one of these guys that's scoring at an incredible clip right now uncomfortable. I'm not willing to lose a game seven if I'm Utah to Murray, and if I'm the Nuggets, I don't want to lose it to Donovan Mitchell. They have to force other guys to make plays because these guys are in an incredible rhythm right now, knocking down big time shots, and you have to force the ball out of their hands.
Jack, how do you do that? Every time I watch Jamal Murray score, it's in a high pick and roll, a PNR, a DHO, a dribble handoff. He's always involving the big, and it doesn't seem like they blitz him. They can't get the ball out of his hands. So what kind of adjustments do you make?
Well, you know, what do I know? But I know
you know a lot,
back,
Jack. Come on, man.
I know sitting back in a drop as far as that big guy, just to make it as simple as possible, that big guy in center field is no man's land. It is allowing the guard to come off and make a play. I got to challenge my big, whether it be Jokic or Gobert, to come up further and disrupt the guard coming off that screen and roll, and then trust the help behind them because they're coming off and making shots. I got to have the initial defender fight over the screen and have that big guy up closer, not allowing them to get into a comfort zone. And it starts right away because, you know, in this league, you make two or three shots to start the game, you feel like a world beater.
Murray's averaged 47 over the last three games, Jack, which is pretty impressive. When you look at what he's been able to do, has this team basically shifted to him?
Well, there's no question about it. You win in this league in 2020 with dynamic guard play, perimeter guys that can make plays. I can make adjustments to a big scoring the basketball or the way that, you know, Jokic affects the game. I can eliminate him to a certain extent. But when you're talking about guards that can pull up from anywhere and be disruptive out of pick and roll and isolation, is also in transition. You look at Jamal Murray. The guy is only the second player in the history of the game to have, you know, 50 points in a playoff game shooting 24 or less field goal attempts. The other guy that did it was, I believe, 57 years ago, was Bob Cousy. And in doing his, he shot 30 for 32 from the free throw line. Jamal Murray did it without going to the line like that. He did his damage on the court, knocking down big-time shots.
The Heat beat the Bucks in game one last night. We had Kendrick Perkins on the show, and he basically said that the Heat had the recipe to get Milwaukee Bucks out of the playoffs. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree. I had concerns about the Bucks watching them, you know, covering these games in the bubble and watching them. I can see some flaws and weaknesses, not to say that they can't win at all, but I can see them losing in the Eastern Conference way before the finals and matching up against, you know, the Miami Heat, who had success against them in the regular season. The way that they compete, the way that they can put multiple bodies at Giannis, the way they can put a big and Bam Adebayo who can move his feet laterally and stay in front, and the way they committed defensively. They are sprinting back, building a wall, and refusing to allow him to dominate the paint area, which he's done from day one in this league.
Jack, I'm about to ask you the tough question, and you can answer it. When we watch Giannis play, I feel like there are multiple games where I see him shoot air balls at the free throw line. And I know it's a team sport, and I know he needs Chris Middleton, other players, you really step up. But ultimately, when you think about the top players in the league, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, James Harden, they all have the complete skill set. Do you ultimately think the lack of the complete skill set for Giannis is something that will hinder him from winning a championship?
It may hinder him today. I don't think it'll hinder him in the long run because I think, you know, as players, you improve as a shooter. And he certainly has improved from day one to where he is right now and is going to get better. The one weakness in his game is his ability or inability to shoot the basketball at a high clip. That's going to come. He's a dominant basketball player and is, you know, on his way to being a two-time MVP because of what he does on the basketball floor. And I think as a shooter, he's going to only improve. It's going to rely on other guys knocking down shots at a high enough clip to loosen up the Miami defense and allow him to do what he does best.
Can Chris Middleton be the second best guy on a championship team?
You know, he's an all-star. And they've done a good job of putting him in position where he initiates a lot of the offense where he didn't in the past. Now you can see him handling the basketball and much more, utilizing him much more in pick-and-roll situations. So they put him in that position. I just think it boils down to other guys taking and making shots, which they did so, you know, fluently during the regular season, But this is a different light that you're in the playoffs, and they're going to be challenged.
Mark Jackson, ESPN NBA analyst, join us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. MJ, have you seen enough of the Clippers to believe that they can win the world championship?
Absolutely. And there were times, you know, I came into this, to the bubble situation, thinking, okay, the Lakers, the Clippers, they're the favorite. You know, other teams are in the mix, but those two were the clear favorites. And, you know, watching the games early on, I thought, you know, anybody in the playoffs had a chance, a decent enough chance, because I didn't think either one of those teams looked great enough to pencil them in as far as winning it all. But when you look at their talent, when you look at their coaching, when you look at their ability to put the ball in three guys' hands, whether it be Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, or Lou Williams, their ability to take and make big shots and make plays without having to be designed, but their ability to create offensive plays and opportunities for their teammates, that's a dangerous team. So they have as good a chance as anybody. It's going to be exciting.
Jack, we lost John Thompson the other day, Big John. What do you remember playing about playing against John Thompson's teams at Georgetown while you were at St. John's?
Well, you know, I said it on Get Up yesterday when I got the news, and I couldn't even, you know, speak without being choked up. An incredible man, incredible impact. If you told me I had a choice to pick anybody in the history of sports that I didn't play for to coach me in the history, and I'm a big fan of sports in general, it would be John Thompson, Coach John Thompson, because I watched the way he protected, nurtured, guided, shielded, instilled, poured into, sacrificed, and led an incredible group of guys from day one. Competing against him, you can be nothing but in awe and appreciation for his impact and the love that he, you know, showered his players with. That's what you want. And you just look at the tributes and the comments made by his players. At the end of the day, the most impressive thing he did wasn't winning the championship. It was the impact that he left with these young men, because they grew up to be guys that impacted millions. So just his gesture in a small part, which was huge. Think about the people that have been impacted by Pat Ewing, Allen Iverson, Dikembe Mutombo, Alonzo Mourning, just to name a few. Michael Jackson, on and on and on. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's a tribute to his legacy and his life, and certainly praying for his family.
Well, well said. Although I got to say, you played for a pretty good stalwart in the Big East yourself with Lou Carnesecca.
You know, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it made me call my 95-year-old Hall of Fame coach yesterday and just have a great conversation with him. And not made me, because we talk often, but I just wanted to let him know how much I love him and appreciate him.
Yes, you're right. Moments like this make you sort of step back and say what's really important. It's something that Jay echoed on the show yesterday. Mark, we'll see you tonight, 8:30 Eastern Time on ABC for a trip to the conference semis where Kawhi and company await. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Keep up the awesome work.
All right, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Keyshawn, right, Jay, Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. That includes Marcus Spears on the way in just a bit. What do you have?
I can't wait to get a hold of Jay Will.
Run him down?
Well, we got to do this. We should really do this one time.
Man.
I'm going to end up tearing an ACL, but it's going to be worth it.
Just
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
So earlier this morning, Joe Judge, first-year head coach of the New York Giants, joined us. They'll open the Joe Judge era on Monday Night Football, the capper to week one. They'll take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, Titans, Broncos to follow in the double dip. Joe Judge was asked by Key this morning about the relationship he has with Belichick. Is he going to be yet another guy that's going to try to be like Belichick, or the legendary Bill Parcells in New York? Will he have that sort of demeanor? He essentially artfully said, look, I appreciate everyone, including Bill, but I ain't trying to imitate anyone, including Bill.
First off, I enjoyed my time at Foxborough. I learned a lot from Coach Belichick, but I've learned a tremendous amount from a lot of guys I've worked under and played under. And, you know, I'm taking things from everyone I've worked under and played under, things that I believe in, things I think that are important to building a winning culture and sustaining over time. But I'm doing everything in my own personality, Keyshawn. You know, I'm not trying to imitate or emulate anybody. You know, it's got to be genuine. It's got to be sincere. You know how it is. You lie to the players, you're going to lose them forever because they can see right through that.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm me. And, you know, I think our players have a pretty good feel for who I am. I'm pretty straightforward with those guys. I don't have a lot of time to, you know, mix fluff and try to, you know, make everything sunshine and rainbows. I think that it's, you know, my responsibility and duty to tell them the straight truth so they can work on improving what they have to and we can get better as a team.
Still one of the most stunning hires in years. ESPN football analyst Marcus Spears joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Marcus, thanks for being with us. What do you make of the Joe Judge comments there that he's his own dude?
That's what you're supposed to say. Obviously, you have coaches that you came under and you learned some things, and pulling from those guys is never a bad idea. My concern was when you heard all of the stuff coming out of training camp was if you lose these guys, like he said, telling the truth to players is that's 100% truth. They want to know who you are. They want to know where you stand, but you got to make sure who you are and where you stand is in line with what those guys want to be coached by and what they can buy into. So it's a fine line. Seems like he wants to push a culture forward as far as tough. That's what I got from his tone. He almost sounded like he was mad. Key asked him that question a little bit. But when I, you know, listening to him, man, that's actually what you want to hear. When you think about the business side of football, you want a coach that's going to shoot you straight. Hopefully he putting you in a great position to win. And the sternness and the discipline and how you want to approach it is fine as long as you have success. So that's going to be the next test for Joe Judge. Are you going to be successful? Because nobody cares about what you say, what type of things you do in training camp, all the nuanced things that you have your players doing to get better if it doesn't translate to wins.
Marcus, when you look at the NFL and you look at the Chicago Bears and quarterback Mitch Trubisky and what's being said about the Bears passing on a number of high-profile players, along with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who at the time had Blake Bortles, but they passed on Patrick Mahomes as well as Deshaun Watson, how come Chicago continues to get, I guess, become the laughing stock of the quarterback carousel in the NFL?
You know, Key, I think I was thinking about that, man, and legitimately Jacksonville has flown under the radar. But we also got to remember it wasn't long ago Jacksonville was playing for AFC Championship. So I think that buys you a pass for a little bit. It seems like they had some good things going. But when you look at Chicago, man, obviously hindsight is 20/20. Everybody had their reservations about Mitch Trubisky only playing one good season at UNC before they drafted him. And ain't nobody out of their damn mind, Key. We saw what Deshaun Watson did in college. Listen, I'm on record for saying Deshaun Watson was the best quarterback coming out of that class. Now, obviously, Patrick Mahomes has ascended and become that guy, but Deshaun ain't terrible either. Deshaun is one of the best quarterbacks, young quarterbacks in this league. And you go with Mitch Trubisky after watching Deshaun Watson play in the national championship the first time and almost will his team by himself to a win. And then to see him get a W against Alabama in the championship and the way he played, the way his team believed in him and how those guys operated throughout that game. And you still draft Mitch Trubisky. I ain't taking no heat off the Chicago Bears. Don't nobody in the world think that Mitch Trubisky should have went before Deshaun Watson, to say the least. Now, you could talk about Patrick Mahomes and the skill set. There was this misnomer, not misnomer, there was some honesty about Texas Tech quarterbacks having a lot of gaudy stats and being able to do tremendous things in college. But when it comes specifically for me, and the way I killed this quarterback situation in Chicago, is you had Mitch Trubisky or Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was a national championship winning quarterback. The year previous, he had went to a national championship and put up 40 on arguably one of the best defenses in college football history. And you took Mitch Trubisky from North Carolina. So, Key, that's all you need to know right there why we killed Chicago in their quarterback situation.
Swagoo, how about Alvin Kamara? Obviously, he wants some money that Christian McCaffrey got, $16 million. You know, you think about Derrick Henry, $12.5 million, him holding out. You think he'll get that money?
Nah, he won't get that money, man. New Orleans is negative $77 million in cap space right now. They paid Michael Thomas. Obviously, Drew is still there. They paid Cam Jordan, all of those guys. But when you think about what Alvin Kamara is, he's a unique back. Now, he's not just a backfield inline guy. He lined up, I think, 17% of the time in the slot last year, if I'm not mistaken. So he does multiple things for New Orleans. But when you look at how they operate offensively, what it's built around Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, and spreading people out. And I think Alvin Kamara is one of the elite backs in this league when you consider everything. I played against a guy, Key noticed, in Brian Westbrook in Philadelphia. You never knew where he was going to be. They ran zone. They ran inline. They split him out. They created screens and draw game for him. Very difficult to defend. I think Alvin is in that same vein, similar to what you see with Christian McCaffrey. The thing about Christian McCaffrey, his usage is what's telling you $16 million a year. And I don't know if anybody still agrees with paying a running back that money. But when you look at what Christian has done for Carolina, it's just on a whole nother level than any other way any other back is used in the league. So they could kind of justify that in Carolina. But when you look at New Orleans, I think teams always think if we remove Alvin Kamara from this situation, no, we're not a better team, but do we lose that much in order to pay that guy this amount of money to be a part of what we're trying to do? So I think you weigh that. I think New Orleans is in a position not to have conversations with Alvin Kamara. An important piece to what they're trying to do as far as winning the championship. But to be asking for Christian McCaffrey money with the dynamics of that cap and the players that they choose to feature, including himself, I'm not sure if he's going to get to that number, boss.
Man, what's for lunch?
I don't know yet, bro. I'm still trying to decide, man. I don't have a crazy day on TV. So I got these green eggs.
All right, that's enough, man. All right, man.
We don't need the whole recipe.
Yeah, we don't need the whole recipe, man.
I'm just saying.
You could have just said,
man, when you ask me for lunch, I got to go in detail. Hey, did I see Zoom wearing a do-rag?
Yes. That's why he lost a bet to me, so he had to wear a red do-rag today.
You know, we have fun on this show, man. It's a different show.
This is tight. This is literally and figuratively, actually.
Zoom.
What do you got?
Zoom, it's going to change your wife when... It's going to change your life when the waves set in, bro. It's a different animal when the waves set in.
You obviously haven't paid attention to where the hairline starts.
Hey, I'm 42. I'm lucky I got any at this particular point. We'll see you on NFL Live and enjoy lunch.
All right, fellas.
Yeah, you a fool, man.
What?
You a fool,
man. I already told Z. I told him.
I didn't even think Z even heard you say that, though.
Well, earlier?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's my guy, man. Z is my man, you know?
Oh, it's getting hot.
I can't wait to take this off at 10 and see how it looks. I've never had this on before, so we'll see. If there's any reason to keep listening or watching, it's that.
You should sleep with it at night. I'm gonna see. We're gonna pull up during the break. I'm gonna show you what finger waves look like because you have the hair texture that the finger waves would come in. That's like a late 70s, early 80s look.
I was born late 70s, early 80s, so maybe it's right up my alley.
Get that soft bristle brush, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's going to be good for you. It's going to be a good look.
Straight ahead, Joel Embiid tweeted, what might come next? He did it last night, and we'll complete the tweet next.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That Miami music for Jimmy B, huh?
Well, that was you earlier this morning raving on Jimmy Butler's performance to help upset the top-seeded Bucks in Game 1 Eastern Conference Finals. Jay, Game 2 tomorrow.
He had 40 on the number one defensive efficiency team in the league.
Bottom of the net.
Only that's guys to have 40 in a Miami Heat playoff game. Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Jimmy Butler.
Really?
Keyshawn. Yeah, those are the only guys. And by the way, Dwayne did it 7 times. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, brought to you by Nature Valley. Feel the joy of a sunny day, find the freedom of an open field, and taste the crunch from 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Granola Bars. We are better outside. All right, so Jimmy Butler, bottom line. You look at him, you say to yourself, there are so many layers here, Jay. What he's doing in Miami is great. What he could have done in Philly, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah, we were talking before we went to break about Joel Embiid sending the note on the tweet saying if as relating to Jimmy Butler. So I'll complete the sentence for you.
Okay.
If I keep waking up in these cold sweats, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I really feel like Joel Embiid wakes up at night saying, is that Jimmy? That's Jimmy again. He's following me everywhere. It's like if you think about what Jimmy Butler brought to that team. He brought the physical toughness. He brought the leadership. Every single team that Jimmy Butler has been added to, look at how much they've lost. Minnesota, look what he brought to the table. Look what they've lost. Philadelphia, look what he brought to the table. Look what they've lost. Now Miami, look what he brings to the table. He's taking this team, putting them on his back, and he's leading a young core of guys that actually follow his lead. Now, the beef that they had in Philly, supposedly, was that Jimmy and Joel were pretty tight, but ultimately it came down to the relationship between Jimmy and Ben Simmons. And Jimmy was trying to hold Ben Simmons accountable for shooting the ball and things of that sort. And he was trying to do things that Brett Brown supposedly hasn't done. And I think Jimmy making that decision to then leave Philly to go to Miami. I think if you're Joel Embiid, you're sitting there watching it saying, damn, we were one shot away from potentially winning a world championship last year. And look where we are now.
So if you were Elton Brand or whoever's running the Philadelphia 76ers at the time, why would you pick the coach over a dominant player and you have reservations about that coach anyway?
Complete the tweet, though, first. If
dot, dot, dot.
What do you think?
I personally think he's talking about the organization.
Exactly.
That if they would have signed him, figured out how to make it work, we could have been in this same position, potentially headed to an Eastern Conference final again. And that's what I think.
The big question is, you know, now Elton Brand came out and said, hey, look, we're going to keep this dynamic duo together.
Right.
Right? We're going to move forward, try to find a new head coach. But if you're Joel Embiid, if you really said if, what you are implying is,
what?
If it comes down to Jimmy Butler or Ben Simmons, maybe we should have taken Jimmy Butler.
He's 30 years old. He's in the prime of his career.
I don't know. It leaves open for a ton of speculation, but I don't. If it comes down to a decision,
but could me personally, when it comes time for players like star dudes and a coach that's kind of on the bubble, I'm getting rid of the coach. if the player's gonna resign with me, I can almost get any coach to put that on autopilot if they can coexist. But clearly they couldn't coexist based on the rumors that's out there, and the head coach wasn't stepping in to try to get them to coexist.
Okay, I take that back. I think you're right. I don't think that ultimately that decision came down to, is it Jimmy Butler or is it Ben Simmons? Maybe if it's Jimmy Butler or Brett Brown. Like you're saying, and that's what your point you're alluding to, saying, look, I'm throwing the kitchen sink at Jimmy Butler to stay. But the problem is, I think, look at the cap. I mean, they paid Tobias Harris a lot of money.
But you blow up.
You paid Al Horford a lot of money. I think there are ways within the cap, too. I don't think it could have worked to continue to pay Jimmy.
But don't you figure out how to get – okay,
I agree.
In basketball, a luxury tax for championships is worth it at the end of the day, right? I mean, if you're gonna be pushing up against luxury tax situations, it's worth it. The Golden State Warriors figured out how to pay everybody.
Yeah,
and I wanted to pay everybody again.
I don't have all the details in front of me. I was going to try to look them up. I do know that between – Tobias Harris, Al Horford, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid.
It's $107 million
payroll. It's like $150, $170 around that payroll.
It's unbelievable. Rumors were Joel Embiid was more driven when Jimmy Butler was in Philly. More driven, brought to you by Goodyear. Discovered the possibilities. Goodyear more driven. Quick thought here. We're just talking about this because they knocked off the top-seeded Bucks. But look at it in a vacuum. Forced his way out of Chicago. Forced his way out of Minnesota. Forced his way out of Philly. If you're the Sixers, can't you just say, bro, yeah, every organization he's been with, it's ended terrible. Let's just get rid of him. Isn't that fair? Just don't take last night's game into account. If you're making the decision in the moment.
But if you're looking at what happened with Cat in Minnesota.
Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah, it's like you ain't really bringing your lunch pail. You know, mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, okay. I don't want to. I'm a dude. I want to win. I don't have time.
That's what I'm saying.
For the shenanigans.
Who you committed to, Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons? Because if you're committed to Joel Embiid, you're keeping Jimmy Butler.
Jim Boeheim is next on the late, great John Thompson.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.